I am excited to talk about the Brewers and the business side of it, as well as the baseball side of it. And joining us to discuss that, giving us some of his time, a fellow UW alumnus like Tausch and I, although considerably more successful than both of us. It is Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, on Wilde and Tausch. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No, thanks for making time for us. Before we talk AmFam Field and the challenges that COVID-19 presented, Tausch has an important journalistic question that he wants to start our conversation with.
I do. Rick, you've spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, and it's a staple to have fish fries. Are you a coleslaw guy with your fish fry, or do you say, nah, I don't want the coleslaw?
No, I'm not a big coleslaw guy, I got to be honest with you.
There you go.
It's sort of a not something I would ever get on its own, and if it's there, I don't object to anybody else partaking, but it's not something that's going to be on my plate.
There we have it.
I knew you'd fit right in with this show. It's beautiful. Rick, obviously, we have seen all sports, baseball included, battle through COVID-19 and the challenges that it presented this past season. Just can you give us kind of a 30,000-foot view of where things are as you guys get ready for a 2021 season that everyone's excited about and they'd like to be in the stands for it? Where do kind of things stand as you figure things out here moving forward?
Yeah, we obviously want fans in the stands, and we're putting together a plan for the City of Milwaukee Health Department. We've been in regular communication with them, and talking about, you know, how we safely can have fans here. And we've got some great protocols, a lot of great partners working together to make the ballpark safe. We absolutely believe we can have fans here. And that's our, you know, we're going to be presenting this week to the city and working with them and answering any questions and hopefully having them do a site visit so we can show them how we can, you know, socially distance. And then, from my perspective, as the weather warms up and things start progressing in terms of vaccinations and the spread decreases, we can, you know, increase the numbers. And, you know, my goal would be to have at some point, you know, full crowds here. And obviously we've got to do it safely, but I think we can.
Rick, you know, I cover the Packers and have for a long time. It was strange to see an empty stadium and then the players really talked about how much of an impact during the playoffs having fans in the stands had. Do you take any cues from your fellow professional team that plays outdoors in how they did things in Green Bay at Lambeau Field? Does that help you at all as you put together your plan, or are those two things, you know, apples and oranges?
No, it's very helpful. The fact that the Packers were able to have, you know, what, 10,000 to 12,000 fans at Lambeau. I absolutely agree. I didn't play, but I can tell you the players, to a person, are very, very desperate to have fans here at American Family Field. It's we played without fans last year, and it was very difficult mentally on the players. You know, it's such a hard game. It's a game of precision. It's a game of milliseconds, and when you don't have the fans here and you take yourself out of your normal comfort zone, it's hard to play baseball. It's hard to play any sport. So, the fact that Packers were able to do it successfully, to me, is a very good benchmark for us. We're an outdoor facility, obviously, with a retractable roof, movable panels. So, again, I believe I'm very optimistic that we can demonstrate to not only the city, but to our fans and to everybody that, you know, we can safely have a fair number of fans here and do it responsibly, but also, you know, here to support the team and provide, you know, the environment that our players need to perform at a high level.
Rick, you just mentioned AmFam Field. Can you explain how important, you know, having a partnership with American Family is to not only the community, but also just the business side of what you guys do in Milwaukee?
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate because we had a great run with Molson Coors on the naming rights, and we've sort of switched to American Family, and we still have a great partnership, you know, a very robust partnership with Molson Coors. They're going to be our, you know, our malt beverage partner for a long time. So we actually look at this as sort of a classic, you know, win-win. We align with Molson Coors and what's interesting to them and what assets they want. At the same time, you know, you've got a Madison juggernaut in an American Family that's been a staple of the state for 90 years and making a big impression here in Milwaukee and expanding everything. So we're very fortunate to have really great partners. And in American Family, you know, obviously it's a big change. When you change them of ballpark, you don't do it lightly. And you expect some fans to take some time to get used to it. But I'm very comfortable and confident that our fans will get very used to it. And again, we're not going to forget about the 20-year history with Miller Park. And that's always going to be part of our legacy. But looking forward for the next long-term partnership with American Family. And, you know, the signs are going up as we speak, and it's great to see.
Yeah, Rick, we see that. We see the, you know, American Family Field sign getting put up. What happens to that Miller sign when it came down? Where is that now? And could Jason get that for a birthday present?
Well, we could probably put his backyard. I don't know that it's going to fit. Some of the signs we're going to give to Molson Coors, and I think they're going to, you know, obviously preserve them. Some of them were still sort of TBD what to do. They're quite large. We fortunately have a place in the parking lot where we can store some of the old signs until we figure out, you know, what to do with them. But they are quite massive, and you know, you forget how much, you know, how big they are until you actually have them on the ground and you stand next to them and you realize how massive and all the technology involved to create them. So, yeah, we'll figure out what to do with some of the remaining signs. And, you know, again, we've got a nice resting place for them now temporarily.
Yeah, I think I can, Rick, pass on the Miller Park sign, but I would like to recreate Hellfair Field in my backyard. I once hit a home run out of there in about 2006. It's one of my proudest athletic achievements. Talking with Rick Schlesinger from the Brewers, the president of business operations. Rick, I'm curious, as you look forward and look back, the challenges that you faced, not just on the field with, as you talked about, for players dealing with the empty stands, but the fiscal challenges, how do you feel you guys negotiated those? Because I know how challenging it's been for lots of businesses, but, you know, you guys had such, to use your word, robust fan engagement and attendance, and I know all the teams had to deal with this, but how did you manage to get through the challenging year the way you guys did?
Well, I think, you know, it was not something I want to replicate. I will tell you, you know, we recognized as an industry that, you know, we had to get some semblance of a season completed, even though it was a lot fewer games. And that was priority one. And because of that, you know, we just had to take the position that we just couldn't have fans in the stands, even in, you know, cities where their local governments would have otherwise allowed fans in the stands. The, you know, MLB decided, because of so many unknowns about the virus and risks to players and unknown risk to fans, it was just the decision to just have empty stadiums, which, you know, and again, goal would be to get the season completed and get the postseason completed. So mission accomplished there. But obviously, you're talking about, you know, a loss of, you know, we draw between 2.7 and 3 million fans annually, and that was gone. And all the revenue associated with that attendance was just completely wiped away, and it's not ever recoverable. You know, it's sort of like an airline seat. Once the plane's flown, you can't resell that seat, and it's empty. So we lost, you know, a significant, you know, by far the most significant source of our revenue in 2020. We can never get that back. So we had to manage. You know, we have great partners. We had to rely on baseball and our local media dollars and our partners to contribute. It's a challenge. We lost a lot of jobs. A lot of people rely on the Brewers for summer employment. That was all wiped away. So it was very difficult. And, fans don't want to hear about, you know, owners of teams complaining, and we're not. It's just the reality of a business. When your biggest source of revenue is completely eradicated, it makes it for challenging times. And that's why it's so important for us for 2021 to be able to have fans in the stands. It's just the engagement that we need with our fans, the creating the atmosphere of the players, the revenue, all the benefits of attendance are really important to us.
Rick, obviously a couple of kids from the North Shore area of Milwaukee have prominent roles in this organization, you and obviously Craig. Craig did a commercial a few years ago that really resonated with me. When he was on the show a while back, we talked about it, where he was talking about going to County Stadium, and he and I are roughly the same age, so that really meant a lot to me. But now you have and have had so much success on the field. How have things shifted in terms of marketing this team from maybe having to, as you were building your team from some struggling years? You've been with this organization a really long time. What's it like to, for lack of a better term, sell this team based on its merits as opposed to kind of selling nostalgia and the hope for the future of it being a good team?
Yeah, no. There's no question that, you know, when you're marketing the team, the best message is winning, and I mean that's our mission statement, right? Is to win a World Series, and so everything else sort of is flows around that ultimate mission statement. And yeah, when the team's winning, it makes it easier. You know, you're going to have your core fans. We have a tremendous amount of people in Wisconsin that are just hardcore baseball fans who grew up with the Brewers through thick and thin. But you certainly, when you're winning, you're going to get that incremental bump of sort of the casual fan or the fan who's looking to support a winner. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're competing with a lot of other things for people to do and to spend their money. And I have no problem with fans who jump on the bandwagon, if you will. You know, the goal is to be competitive, is to win, create a exciting product, do it in an affordable, safe, comfortable environment. And invest in, you know, the marketing, invest in the stadium, invest in the team. We didn't have a particularly great year last year at all in a weird season. But, you know, so you sort of get into the postseason and that's fine. But I don't think anybody looks at 2020 as necessarily a huge success. But I think, you know, given where our division is and given the bounce back we expect from some of our stars, feel pretty good about where we're going to be in 21. And again, it would be great to win in front of fans as opposed to just having, you know, empty seats.
All right, Rick, two more things since Tausch got his coleslaw question answered. One, the return of the ball and glove logo, that was a lot of excitement on this show and certainly for me having grown up with it. How do you feel that went? Did that go as well as possible? Because I know how beloved it is among Brewers fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it went really well. I mean, I guess one of the things is, you know, we like to think we're all geniuses here in the front office, but, you know, the reality, this was an easy one. This was basically a no-brainer. You know, our fans love the ball and glove. You know, our fans who grew up with the Harvey's Wallbangers have fond memories of the ball and glove. Sort of the young people love the look. It's become sort of this iconic, you know, sort of dual message logo. People look at it, and when you tell them there's an M and a B, there's an ah moment. But for us, it was really, you know, sort of honoring our legacy, but also giving it a fresh update. And whenever you touch logos, you worry about, you know, upsetting people who have, you know, a real attachment to nostalgic logos and don't want it to be touched. So we were very careful in how we upgraded it and modernized it and added some different colors. And I think people loved it. And, you know, again, you know, we had the new uniforms and new brand system last year, but we didn't have any fans to see it in person. Right. So one of the things I'm excited about in 21 is having fans, you know, see these players in these cream colored home and then the different versions. So I was very, very happy. I anticipated a very warm reaction and it was met. The fans really embraced it and have been great about it.
All right, Rick, last one for me, and then Jesse wants to ask you something about the sausage race because he's very jealous that I once ran in it, and he has not. I was doing preparation for this interview because Lord knows somebody has to on this show. You used to work for the Walt Disney Corporation in motion picture development.
Yes.
Can you tell me a movie that you developed that we would have watched / loved?
Probably the most famous movie I worked on was The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis.
Oh!
That's a very famous movie. And then I would say the other movie that I worked on at Disney that never got produced while I was at Disney was Mr. 3000, which, as we all know, came to life here in 2003, but I worked in that movie in the 90s, and it never could quite get from sort of development to production. But, you know, as soon as I leave and come to the Brewers, they decide to make the movie and, of course, feature the Brewers. So we had a lot of fun with that movie. It didn't do very well at the box office, unfortunately, but I have fond memories of that movie when I was in production and then obviously being here when they were making it.
Bernie Mac, I love that movie.
Yeah, classic. Jesse? May he rest in peace.
Yeah. I was in that movie, too, as an extra. It was fun. I got to be there.
Yeah, I noticed. I saw you.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, Rick, you're familiar with my work, then. That's wonderful.
tried to get you a screen credit, but you have to be in the Screen Actors Guild. So
waiting on my royalties, yeah. So I promised my friend Jordan I would ask this question. Now, he's a White Sox fan, but he loves coming to games at AmFam Field in Milwaukee watching the games. So he's a big fan of the Sausage Race. And he said, he wanted to know if there were any plans in the future to expand the Sausage Race further. He wants to add the breakfast sausage as number six. Is there any plan to add a sixth sausage?
The six sets?
No, we get a lot of inquiries about adding sausages, and you know, I will never say never, but you know, I sort of like, you know, the five. Chorizo was added, you know, maybe 13 years ago. And obviously to you know, very popular addition, but you know, I don't want to fix something that isn't broken, and it seems to work with the five. Again, I would never say never, but no current plans for a sixth sausage right now.
Well, Rick, we appreciate you making time for us, and we're glad that we could end our conversation with you with a requested question from a White Sox fan who is a friend of our producer. So that's just consistent with the way the show has gone thus far.
The people wanted
Rick,
to know.
Rick, thanks for making time for us.
Yeah, I'm okay with the White Sox. The other team, not so much.
Amen to that.
Rick, good
thanks
luck this season.
Me,
thank you.
Okay.